Please pray with me. Good and gracious God, we gather here today, and we pray that a word might be spoken that might change some heart, move some mind, open up some imagination. For we seek you and we want to find you. Bless us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. It was early one morning, a couple of weeks ago, and I had to drive my daughter Sarah up to the high school because the Heights High Choir was singing on Fox 8 News that morning. And everybody had to be at the high school at 6 a.m. I know. We're both very sleepy. And so we weren't talking. And so I went over and I turned on the radio. Feel the emptiness, right? And it wasn't NPR. And it wasn't ESPN. And it wasn't pop or R&B or hip-hop, top 40. It was a country station left on by whoever was driving the car the night before, whose name will remain nameless. Anyway, before I could lean over and change the channel, what the song was kind of captured my attention. The singer was singing about voices that he hears, words of wisdom that he listens to. So when I got to my desk, I Googled, because I heard I hear voices, and which is about to stay to where I am most days. So I said, okay, I'll type in voices, and it was sung. It's a song by Chris Young. Never heard of him before. Now, you know I love poetry. But what I'm about to recite is not Rilke or Frost or Emily Dickinson or Toni Morrison or Melody Oberon. So just to hold on to your seat, I'm really moving towards the point, okay? I'm not singing it, though. And if I sort of dwell into a little country lingo, just be patient. You could say I'm a little bit crazy. You could call me insane, walking around with all these whispers running around my brain. I can't help but hear them. Man, I just can't avoid it. I hear voices. I hear voices like my dad saying, work that job, but don't work your life away. Mama telling me to drop some cash in the offering plate on Sunday. Amen? That's my life, son. And granddad saying, you can have a few, but don't ever cross that line. Yeah, I hear voices all the time. Turns out I'm pretty dang lucky for all that good advice. Those hard-to-find words of wisdom hold up here in my mind. And just when I've lost my way or I've got too many choices, I hear voices. I hear voices like my dad saying, quit that team and you'll be a quitter for the rest of your life. Mama telling me to say a prayer every time I lay down at night. And grandma saying, if you find the one, you better treat her right. Yeah, I hear voices all the time. Sometimes I try to ignore them, but I thank God for them because they made me who I am. Yeah, I hear voices all the time. Not high poetry, but it made me think, grabbed my attention, made me think of the words that I share with my children and the words that I want you all to listen to. And I think about the words that I listen to when I've kind of lost my way in this murkiness of life. My mother's words, this too shall pass. Remember that always. I see other mothers say something like that. Okay, that's good. My brother's words, even if it stinks, keep writing. Now, I don't remember any particular wise words of my father, but he's more a deed doer. So I listen and I pay attention to that. So my question to you this morning, as I jump full, you know, both feet into this, is what do you listen to when you have choices? I mean, there are a lot of voices out there. There's so much to listen to that sometimes it's kind of overwhelming. And I think in today's culture, particularly with 24-hour news cycles and cable TV going all day long, you just want to shut down. You can't even process what's fact from fiction, truth from lies. It's crazy. Now, there was a whole lot to listen to in Mark chapter 9 that Gene read. But there was one verse that kind of grabbed my attention, that I listened to, that began to crack open all the kind of mysteries and ins and outs. You know, I'm not going to talk about Elijah and Moses today. I just want to stick with one verse. Verse 7. Then a cloud overshadowed them. Remember that? And from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. You know, Jesus says a whole heck of a lot. He says a lot in Mark. If you just take this gospel, some of you are studying it in adult ed. It's fabulous. In Mark, Jesus says, time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has drawn near. Repent and believe the good news. Shut up and come out of him. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. I have come to call not the righteous but sinners. He says, truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of the eternal sin. Jesus says, who are my mother and my brothers? Here are my mothers and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my mother and brother and sister. Listen, a sower went out to sow. With what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It's like a mustard seed. Peace, be still. You still have no faith? Jesus says, Talitha kum, little girl, get up. Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. But who do you say that I am? If anyone have become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. Jesus says, the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. Whoever is not against us is for us. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Oh boy. How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven. Take, this is my body. Abba, remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, that's about 33% of what Jesus says in the Gospel of Mark. It's a whole lot to listen to. And perhaps during the season of Lent that we are now entering, it would be good for you to be reading the Gospel of Mark and paying attention to what Jesus says and how it resonates with you, how you shape your life around it. But the question I was struck by is, why listen to him? Why do we listen to Jesus? Well, amid the numerous voices and all the noise of competing claims, the reason we are to listen to Jesus is precisely because he is God's own beloved Son. That's pretty high authority. Now, here's funny. The other day, I was standing in front of Linda's office, and Ann Wilson was walking down the hall. And I said something to her, and I guess I made some gesture, and she just stopped, and she started laughing at me. I said, why are you laughing at me? And she said, I'm sorry, but I just saw Jack in you. Jack's my son, for those of you who don't know. You sound just like him. He sounds like me. Let's get that straight. But you know, our offspring kind of take on our characteristics. I mean, you often know, yeah, I know I'm talking to so-and-so's son. Looks just like him. Or she just has that same mannerism as her mother. Right? Well, in a faithful kind of way, what I want to share to you is that our offspring sound and look like us. And what the Bible's trying to tell us is if you want to see God, look at Jesus. If you want to hear God, listen to Jesus. And everything that Jesus says and does in the Gospel of Mark points to God's presence in human life. Every healing, every exorcism, every parable, every saying. Jesus brings God extremely loud and incredibly close. Yet most of the time, like I am, and I feel like most of you are maybe too, we're kind of like Peter. We stand before the divine experience flustered. We don't quite have the words, but we open up our mouths anyway, and most of the time we embarrass ourselves. And yet, as I kept looking at this scripture and listening to it, the most profound piece of this whole Jesus thing came to me. And I hope that I can offer something to you today about this. We really should be listening to this as we enter the cloud of Lent and begin our pilgrimage towards the shadow of the cross. Now, I'm telling you, I'm warning you, it is something hard to hear. And I don't think many of us really want to listen to this, hear this, because it's frightening. And yet at the same time, it is kind of freeing. It's really good news, really, but you got to let it kind of mess with your mind a little bit. And that is this: God suffers and Jesus dies. God suffers. Jesus dies. The Son of Man suffers and dies. That follows, if you're reading that passage, when the voice of God says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him," what's the next thing Jesus says? Well, Son of Man's going to suffer and die, and Elijah's going to, you know, it's going to be the way of Elijah. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to think about suffering. I don't want to suffer. It is the hardest thing to talk about. And yet, isn't that really where the rubber hits the road of faithfulness? So it came to me, thanks to the words, wise words of Rabbi Kushner, Harold Kushner. It is interesting to me how often suffering is connected with love. I want you to think about that. Suffering and love, they're intimately connected. And this wonderful rabbi writes this. He reminds us, to rid the world of suffering, people would have to learn not to care. And the only way I can avoid that kind of suffering is by not running the risk of love. God wants to give, I think this is great, God wants to give us the capacity to live bravely in a world full of pain. God wants to give us the capacity to live bravely in a world full of pain. Wow. And it got me thinking, at the heart of the Christian message, allow a good rabbi to tell us what is at the heart of the Christian message. I love that. Of course, Jesus was a rabbi who lived the heart of the Christian message. At the heart of the Christian message is that God loves enough to suffer. God loves enough to suffer. Loves every bit of life. Draws all of it into the divine heart. Because that's what suffering means. It means to be in life. It is to go through, to be incarnated. And God does not protect. That is not God's job. I mean, I know I often pray for protection because it's what I yearn for. But I think I know that something deeper is going on here than God just protects us. Well, there's more profound, a little harder to hear, but what we're told is that God is present. God is present. And in ways unfathomable until we are in the middle of it, God provides the capacity to live bravely in a world full of pain. And I have witnessed this capacity again and again and again and again and again in you and you and you and you and you. The capacity to be brave I have learned infinitely more, you see, about the closeness of God and the love of Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit watching parents watch their child die. Grotesque, but I have. Holding hands and praying, gently letting her go. We're being in the presence of those living on the streets, but they hold their heads up high with dignity. I am a man. Or a mother who just refuses to give up on her son who's got to go through treatment one more time. You see, my friends, if we trust God with the worst, then I'm going to hold on to the possibility that God is in the best. I don't think it works the other way. Just seeing God only in the good. Because then what do we do with all this other stuff? Reality, our lives. That is not always good. It's up and down and murky and cloudy. Ugh. And I keep thinking, if God in the suffering, then by God in the healing. If God in the defeat, then God in the victory. If God in the horror, God in the joy. If God in the death, then God in the life. If God on the cross, then God beyond the empty tomb. If God in the nothing, now this is heavy, but I'm going to say it again. If God in the nothing, then God in the everything. I'm going to close with reading a passage of someone else who listened carefully to Jesus, a beloved son, St. Paul. Listen to what he wrote. Wow. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who's against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charges against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of God? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, see, Paul knows what real life's about. As it is written, As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. That's what I wanted you to hear. See, Paul understands suffering. For your sake we're being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. But then Paul ends with this magisterial kind of ending. No, in all these things, you see, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you listening?